Welcome to the People Powered Business Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lee Billett. If you employ staff, engage contractors, or rely on people to help deliver your products or services, you're in the right place. Join us each week as we dive in to uncover what makes people tick, learn the best strategies and tactics to build an amazing team, and most importantly, discover how you, the business owner or leader, can unleash the power of your people to help create the successful business you deserve. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the People Powered Business Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you're well. Hi, I'm Christy Lee and I'm the host of the podcast, the People Powered Business Podcast, and I really appreciate your time in joining me here today. If this is your first episode, welcome. So glad to have you here, and if you're a returning listener, thank you for joining me again. I really do appreciate it. So welcome, and I look forward to discussing our topic with you today. In today's episode of the People Powered Business Podcast, what we're going to be talking about is the document in the HR world, and look, we all know there's lots of documents in the HR world, but the one document in the entire world of HR that I believe is the number one, the most important. I often refer to it as the boss of all HR documents, but it is certainly the one document that I don't think any business can go without, and that is a position description. Now, I know that sounds incredibly boring, and many of you may be sitting here thinking, I don't know that I need a position description in my business or for any role in my business, or I have it for some roles but not for others. And I know particularly as small business owners, and if you're managing a small business, you might feel that position descriptions are limiting. You know, you've got a million other things to do. You don't have time to sit and write a position description for every role in your business. I get it. And you know, as a small business owner, you also want some flexibility in what your staff can do, because you can't pigeonhole everyone. It's all hands on deck much of the time, and you therefore don't see a position description as a particularly important document or resource to have in your business. So today I'm going to dispel those myths for you, give you good reason to find the time to create these documents if you don't already have them in place, and give you some really practical tips as to what should or shouldn't be in a position description. And really, I want to explain to you, and if I can get you to get one thing out of today's episode, it will be why these documents are so important and why they are something that you do not want to skim over or avoid doing or just miss having in your business, because I honestly and truly believe they are the most critical document you can have in place. It doesn't need to be complicated, and in fact it shouldn't be. So if I can walk you through that process today and you walk away from today really understanding how important these documents are and get your backsides into gear and go straight ahead to create them, then I will have achieved success in today's episode. So let's dive in and get started. So firstly, let's look at what on earth is a position description, or some people refer to them as a job description. So there's different titles for the exact same thing. And to put it simply, all they are is a written statement that describes the duties, the responsibilities, and the required skill set and qualifications for a particular job. And every position within your business, whether it's a 4-hour a week bookkeeper right through to the general manager or you as the CEO, should have a written position description. It doesn't need to be War and Peace. It doesn't need to be 10 pages long. In fact, if it is, it's probably not serving its purpose for you, but it does need to be in place. So why do I so passionately believe that position descriptions are the boss of all HR documents? Well, look, I've got a few reasons. So I'm going to walk through all of those reasons with you. And you'll see as I walk through the reasons for the position description being so important, each of those reasons builds on the other. So it's a process where once you understand the fundamental reasons, the subsequent reasons become really apparent, and it makes total sense. So let's roll through the reasons why I so passionately believe in the importance of position descriptions in every single business. Okay, so what I'm going to do is start at a high level for you. Now, with everything to do in any of our businesses, the most important thing to do is for everything to tie into our key driving motivator. So our vision, our company mission, our just cause, as Simon Sinek often refers to it as. We're in business for a reason. We started our businesses for a reason. So start with this in mind when creating your position descriptions, because just like every single process, policy, driving decision in your business, it should always align align with your key values and your overall vision for the business. So start with that in mind when you're looking at creating your position descriptions to make sure that the purpose of the role and the duties of the position align with the achievement of that vision. So that's where I want to start. So right from the top, we're looking at the importance of these documents tying in with the greater driver of your business. Now, what a position description does for you is that it provides clarity. So as a business owner or a manager, having clarity to understand where gaps lie in your business can be one of the most critical things you can do because you're busy. Day to day, you're busy working both on and in your business. You're busy putting out fires. You're helping staff to do their job. You're training and developing your people. You're serving your customers. So you don't often see if you've got a gap, and gaps appear often when a crack forms and there's a big problem. That's when you often see that there's a gap. So having great position descriptions allows you to identify those gaps before they're even obvious. And that can be just so important in your planning of your future resources. So even if you know you've only employed a couple of people, or you're employing your first employee, or it's even just you in the business, by documenting out the roles that exist, as you grow, you're going to have some really clear frameworks for being able to separate out those roles and create them into their own. So having that clarity as a business owner is you know, it's something that I talk about all the time across all aspects of business. But for me, clarity is king. And having clarity around the roles that are required within your business, whether you're doing five of them and you've got a handful of staff doing other things, or whether you've got a team of 75, that clarity still reigns supreme. It's something you absolutely need to see things before they happen. So you're not constantly putting out fires. You're not being reactive. You're able to be proactive in how you're running your business, which, let's face it, that's what we all want to do. It's not easy, doesn't happen all the time, but that's what we're aiming for. So your position descriptions provide clarity about what tasks need to be done, when they need to be done, and who they might need to be done by. So that's a starting point. Now, once you've got clarity around what jobs need to be done, as your business grows, your position descriptions provide you an awesome framework for having a really successful recruitment campaign. So what we know as business owners is that a failed recruitment campaign costs us immeasurably. It costs us time, it costs us money, it costs us heartache, sleepless nights, and just drama that we do not need. And I so often, when I'm working with business owners, what I see is that a problem that exists, you know, down the track, months, years after someone has started, almost always starts because it was a poor hiring decision, because the manager or the owner of the business wasn't clear about what they needed. They therefore didn't know what they needed, so they couldn't possibly be certain to get it right. So once you've got the clarity, when you go to grow and recruit or to replace a position because someone has moved on from your organization, you have a really excellent basis to make sure that that recruitment campaign is as successful as it possibly can be, because you're much, much more likely to attract and draw in the best candidates when you're really clear in your advertising campaign about what the role is, what its responsibilities are, and what skills and experience are essential to do the job. So having that clarity builds to the next level, which is providing a strong basis for exceptionally successful recruitment campaigns. Now, once we've got those position descriptions in place, what they're giving us is a structure. Now, I know as small business owners, some of you may be thinking, oh, structure doesn't work for me. I need a much more fluid arrangement. But I guarantee you, you need some level of structure. So we all know that when there are no rules, people instinctively, all of us are guilty, we make up our own. And it's the same with your employees. If they aren't given the structure and the parameters of their role and their responsibilities and their level of authority, what decisions can and can't they make, what tasks must they complete, if they don't have that structure, through no fault of their own, they will just make up their own rules, and they therefore won't achieve what you want them to achieve. It will lead to stress in the workplace. It will lead to negative communication and difficult relationships, purely because you haven't given them the structure that you're expecting out of them. So you can do all the work to have the right person come into your business, but if you don't give them the structure with the right position description, with that scope of responsibility, you know, it's set up for failure, unfortunately. So giving you structure. Now, of course, once we've got structure, we have certainty. so employees can confidently and perfectionately get on with their job. They know what's required of them. They know what's expected of them. They know where their limitations lie and what they need to do when it hits that point. So they've got certainty to get on with their job. And what happens then? They're much more effective and efficient. And who doesn't want an entirely efficient workforce? Put your hand up if that's you, because I don't think there's anyone out there that wants to say that I want a less than efficient workforce. So once we've got the clarity, we build for an excellent recruitment campaign, we've created structure, we've created certainty, which gives the employees the empowerment to get on and do their job and do it well. And what you get as a result is a super efficient workplace. So all going well, you've got your super efficient workplace and everything is going swimmingly. But what happens when you need to look at an employee's performance? Perhaps things have changed. Perhaps the structure has changed, or perhaps they're not doing what's expected of them, which they clearly knew about and had structure for in their position description. Well, this is where I see these documents coming really, really into that level of importance, providing you protection as a business owner. And that is that these documents give you that certainty to manage performance. So what often happens is I'm working with a business and they often businesses contact me for help when they've got a problem. That's the most common call I get is, I have a problem. I've got an employee or a staff member who's not doing what I'm expecting them to do. And my first question always is, I'm a little bit of a pedantic for this, but have you got a position description? That's my number one question every single time. And the answer is either no, or they have one, but it's not robust enough. And what happens then is you have no tool through which to measure performance. So your expectations are in your head. Basically, you know what you expect out of the employee, but if you haven't given them a structured position description with the correct amount of detail, they don't know what's in your head. So they're going along on their merry way. They're doing what they think they should do based on, you know, what their experience might be. Perhaps it's what they did in a different organization, or perhaps they're just doing whatever they like, but they're not meeting your expectations and you're getting frustrated and you're not dealing with it because you're unsure how to deal with it because you don't have a document to fall back on. So the position description gives you that structured document. It gives you the parameters and the framework to be able to effectively manage someone's performance. Now, you can use this in both a positive performance management strategy, but you can also use this when you're having performance issues and you're needing to performance manage an employee. So on the positive side, what we're looking at here is, this is the document we use when we want to measure performance on a regular basis. So many businesses conduct performance reviews on an annual basis, but I'm seeing more and more these days employers opting for a much shorter review process done much more regularly, because I think it's a whole lot more relevant. Things are changing so rapidly in the workplaces that we're in that over the period of a year, it's really hard to refer back to that performance. So I'm seeing really often these days employers opting for either the quarterly or every 6 months doing their performance reviews. And those performance reviews should be grounded in the position description. So you're reviewing the employee's performance against the expectations that you've set for them in that PD. And that's a great place to start, because it's very easy for the employee then to reflect on their own performance. If your position description is clear enough, the employee can self-monitor and say, I'm actually not meeting that standard or that key performance indicator, or I'm not getting that task done in that time frame. They can self-assess themselves and adapt and change and improve before it gets out of hand. Also, when you go into those performance review meetings, you've got a really positive conversation to have with people to say, you're meeting all of these expectations. That's fantastic. Thank you. And that's a really engaging and encouraging conversation to be able to have. You can then talk about the future for that employee, because they're ticking all the boxes. Perhaps they're happy in the role that they're in, but perhaps they're looking for more. And you can start to talk about training and development and progression planning for them, which is a much more positive conversation to have than a negative performance review process. So having these structures in place gives you a simple tool to measure, are they performing to the expectations I've set? And hopefully by having these in place, you've got a much higher chance of that being a positive result. On the negative side, though, what we do know is that sometimes, for many, many reasons, some of them in your control, but many times not, employees fail to perform at the level you're expecting of them. And if you've got a strong position description in place, that is the number one tool to protect your business when you're managing performance. Because what it gives you is a framework for those discussions. It's a framework to be able to, if you need to, issue warning letters about performance. Because what happens if you go into a performance management meeting, you're frustrated, you're angry, your employee's not performing, you're at a loss, you don't know why they're not doing their job, but they don't have a position description or the one they have is weak and irrelevant. Their justification to you is going to be, I didn't know that was expected of me. How was I going to know that when I don't have any information? I haven't been given that advice and that input. And worse still, you will say to them, I told you that. It doesn't matter what you've told them if it hasn't been communicated in a clear and concise way that they can receive and really take time to sink in. So verbal conversations are, of course, super important in the workplace, but you can't rely on them as your sole tool for setting performance expectations. So if you need to manage a poor performing employee, that position description just gives you complete control over being able to do that, because it's the clearest way possible to go to them and say, you're not meeting my expectations and these are the clear expectations. You've agreed and you've signed to those. What's missing? Why are we not meeting that? Do you need more training? Do you need more development? Is there something else blocking your way to achieving? And let's help you overcome that. Of course, we do as employers face situations where it isn't possible to overcome that. The employee is underperforming consistently, and no matter how much training we're giving them, no matter how much support we're giving them, for whatever reason, it's not working. And this position description gives you the structure with which, if you need to, and of course it's not a scenario we want to have to deal with, but if you need to exit the employee from your organization by following the best practice of providing warnings, providing training, giving opportunity to improve, if ultimately at the end of the day you need to exit them, this is the tool that's going to help you to do that. So as a business owner, to be safely protected in all aspects of managing performance, your position description is the key to you having the security to do that. So now that we understand all of those reasons why they should be in place, and if you're sitting in a situation where you know deep down that you either don't have position descriptions or the ones you do have are not up to scratch, keep listening, because I've got some great tips as to what should be included for you here. And please keep this front of mind. It's such an important thing for you as the business owner to do. So when do you want to create your position descriptions? Well, you want to create them right at the beginning. So you can create them before the job even exists, or certainly start to draft them. You absolutely want to either create or review your position description before you start recruiting for a new employee. Do not start a recruitment process unless you have a clear position description, because you will ultimately end up with most likely a failed recruit. So definitely before you start recruiting, anytime there's been a change. So if there's been a change in structure in your organization, a change in technology, a new person coming into the business, it's time to reflect and review those position descriptions, because things do change. These aren't set and forget documents. They do need to be updated and reviewed regularly. I would certainly have a quick look at all of your position descriptions every year. A good time to do that is at review time, but if not, set a time in your calendar whenever it's a quieter time of year for you, perhaps. This is a document to just go back and review for each position, because things do change. Your expectations therefore change. So if new technology is introduced, does that mean that the goals have changed? The time it takes to do things have changed. I often see businesses that have, for example, a full-time employee in a role, because that role's always been full-time for, you know, 10, 20 years. And what they've found is over those years, that role has changed so significantly that, you know, with new technology or new roles coming into the business, that role is a two-day-a-week role at best. But because they've never reviewed it, never looked at the changes, they haven't identified it. So it's a costly error if we're not reviewing them. So absolutely, you know, at the time you're creating a new position, before you go ahead and recruit, you want to either create or review the position description. Review them regularly, and any time there's a change in your business that impacts that position, that's the time to have a quick review of the position description. So they're the times you want to be looking at those. And what should be in a position description? Now, as I said, this shouldn't be complicated. So what we're going to do, and I'll talk about this at the end, we'll have a really nice, easy download for you to go and grab, which will give you a checklist of what to include in your position descriptions. But at, you know, a big picture level, of course, what you want to have is the job title. you know, what is the position? Now, lots of organisations have really quirky and creative titles in their businesses, which is great. And you can absolutely have those in your position descriptions if that's the language you use in your business. But you may also want to have a subheading then that actually describes the scope of the role. So, for example, in my business, we had quirky titles for quite some period of time, and we referred to my role as the leader of the pack, and it was a little fun title, and we all had fun titles, and it was part of our team planning at the beginning of each year. We'd make up what our titles were going to be, so it was a bit of fun with the whole team. Now, that's fine. That was my position title, and we had others like peopleologist and lots of other things, but on their position descriptions, we would have also then had, you know, human resources consultant or whatever their the true nature of their role was. So we use those titles, you know, on an email signature and in the office and in our lingo, but we also had a job title which was more reflective of their role. That was probably what we would also include in their employment contract, for example. Now, the next thing you want to have in there is a high-level summary of the key duties, so a scope, basically. So it might be something like the general manager is responsible for the overall operational performance of the business, etc., etc. It's usually 2 to 3 sentences, so, you know, it doesn't have to be detailed, but it basically, if you read that, you understand the scope of responsibility of the position. Next, you want to have a list of the key duties. Now, there's a real mix in terms of some people feeling this should be quite brief and others having 10 pages of detail. And I think the true genius is somewhere in the middle. If it's too brief, particularly for some positions, you don't have enough detail to effectively set parameters, set guidelines, and manage performance. So if it's too brief, that is not going to cut it if you need to manage performance. But if it's too detailed, it's also something that's not going to be practically implementable in the business. So if your employee is responsible for 3 key areas in their role, within those 3 key areas, I would have probably at least 10 bullet points in a position description. Some might be less, you know, it might be 5. I certainly wouldn't have 20 unless it really needed it. But you want to have a number of bullet points under there that lists their key duties. You know, so for your receptionist, it might be answering the phone within 3 rings. For your, you know, finance officer, it might be having the month-end reports completed by the 10th of the next month or something like that. So the actual duties you're expecting of them. Now, of course, what you want to have in there is, as I said right at the beginning, linking these position descriptions back to your overarching vision and mission and values. So, and probably this is the thing I see that happens least in position descriptions, actually, which is quite odd, but you want to have your values in there. So if your organizational values are something you expect your employees to embody and envisage in their day-to-day working life, you want to have those in the position description, because what can happen is they're doing all the technical duties of their job awesome. You know, they're nailing all of that. That's great. But they're not fitting into the culture because they don't align with the values. And if these aren't in your position description, you're then really stuck when it comes to performance management, because they're ticking all the boxes in the position description. They're doing what's asked when it's asked. But if there's a values mismatch, we all know that that cultural fit matters so much, and our culture is underpinned by our values. So they should absolutely be in your position description. And I often suggest having a sentence to how you expect to see that embodied in them in their day-to-day work life. So if taking responsibility is one of your company values, how do you expect to see that in an employee? And this is often one that might be the same in every single employee's position description, because the values remain the same across the business. So it might be takes responsibility. We own our mistakes. We admit when we've made a mistake, and we do everything we can to fix it and notify all the appropriate people, or something like that. So you know that they're keeping true to those values, and they've got a measure of success in terms of how they are doing against those values. So absolutely, that should be in there. Of course, you want to know the knowledge, the skills, the experience, the licenses, the qualifications, what is technically required to be able to perform this job. Now, if it's not essential, it shouldn't be in there. You could have a desirable potentially, but what you want is what's needed. So do you need them to drive to appointments? Well, they're going to need a driver's license, so you want that in there. If they need to operate machinery that requires particular licenses or qualifications, that should be in there. If they need to be qualified, you know, degree qualified, an accountant, for example, this should be in the position description. If it's simply that you need them to have a particular knowledge set, so they may need to know how to use AutoCAD to do drafting work, this should be in there. So you want that key knowledge and skills that anyone coming into the role has to have in order to be successful within the position description as well. Now, the other thing you want to have in there, and I usually put this towards the top, but they're key working relationships. So who do they report to? Who reports to them? And who are the other key players they need to deal with? So it might be that this role reports to the CEO. It is responsible for the finance team. So the accounts clerk, the assistant accountant, and the receptionist report to them. And their key other contacts might be the other managers, so the other members of the management team, as well as any other key external stakeholders. In a customer service role, they report to the customer service manager. They don't have anyone else report to them. They are part of the customer service team, and their key external contacts are the customers. So you can see there, it depends on the role, but you want to have a scope of who their key contacts and relationships need to be. And of course, their zones of responsibility. So if we go back to that customer service staff member example, they're responsible for dealing with all incoming customers from a particular group. So it might be all incoming customers from our technical section, and you're responsible for assisting them with all inquiries. That's a zone of responsibility. For a finance manager, you're responsible for overseeing the finance function of the business. So the overall zones of responsibility, you could have multiple for some positions. That's not a one-off. Now, the other very critical thing, and again, this is one that I often see left out, is your key success criteria. So these are often referred to as key performance indicators or KPIs, key result areas or KRAs, but some form of accountability metric. And these are usually maybe a top five, and it can vary. It can be, you know, 3 to 10, I guess, but a top around five of key performance indicators or a criteria around your measuring success in them doing the role. So is it about following the marketing plan and ensuring that all social media channels are actively engaged? Is it about attracting 10% new business into the company? Is it about ensuring that month-end reports are done on time each month and submitted to the board on time? So for every role, these will be different, but these are something you absolutely need to have in your position descriptions to ensure it's measurable. You need to have a success criteria. What does success look like? Because having that in there is so helpful for the employees. They've got a real vision as to how success is measured in this role, but also helps you to make sure that you've got a role that's designed for success, and that drives growth and profitability and efficiency across your business. So important. So to give you a recap of what should be in your position descriptions, you want a job title, you want a high level summary of the key duties, you want their key responsibility zones, you want their relationships, who they're reporting to, who's reporting to them, you want a list of their key duties, so what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. You absolutely want to have the company values and how these are expected to be portrayed in this role. You want a description of all of their experience, knowledge, skills, qualifications and licenses that they need in order to be able to perform this position. And you absolutely want their key success criteria listed in there. So they're the key things that if you've got all of those in your position descriptions, these documents should be really beneficial for your business. So that is my recap of why I feel the position descriptions are the boss of all HR documents. And I encourage all of you to ensure that you've either got them in place or that you're taking the time to review them to make sure they're super effective and helpful for you to manage your people. I hope that's been really helpful for you today, and I hope some of you have had a bit of an aha moment, and others have felt really secure that they've got this in place and you've got it right. So if that's you, congratulations, and I'm really glad to hear that. As I mentioned, what I've done is I've prepared for you today a really simple checklist that you can download just to run through what should be in the position description so that you know you've got that in place. So if you go over to peoplepoweredbusiness.com and click on episode 7, that document will be there for you to click to download, and you can use that as a really simple checklist there as well. So peoplepoweredbusiness.com is where you will find that particular download. Now, of course, the other place you can connect with us as well is over on our Facebook page, which is People Powered Business on Facebook. And if you have any questions that you would love to have answered here on a future episode of the podcast, I would absolutely love it for you to come over to Facebook and let me know over there. Because my whole intention with this podcast is to provide information that's going to be really helpful and easy to implement for business owners and leaders and managers. So if you've got something that you're thinking, oh, I'm really curious about that, or I wonder how to implement that, I guarantee you someone else has the same question. So you'll be not only helping yourself, but helping others. So pop over onto Facebook to the People Powered Business Facebook page. And again, I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well, where you can ask me any questions on, and I'll not only provide some advice there on Facebook, but I'll prepare a future episode of the podcast for you specifically on that topic. And I hope those of you who are return listeners are enjoying the podcast, and I thank you again for joining us. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast over on iTunes or Spotify, that would be great, and we'd know then that you're listening, so you can head over there and subscribe, and I would love that as well. Now, in next week's episode of the podcast, what we're going to be talking about is something that I'm getting a lot of questions from clients about at the moment during our current COVID-19 crisis, which is staying connected. So how can we stay connected when we're physically disconnected? And I'll talk about some ways that we can really connect with our staff and our people, all of our suppliers as well. So this could be relevant whether you've got contractors, employees, suppliers, and you're wanting to really stay connected with them during this time of social disconnection, I guess you'd say. So that's what we're going to talk about on next week's episode. So I hope you join me for that. Again, thanks for joining me here today. I hope you're having a fabulous week. Head over to peoplepoweredbusiness.com to grab that download, and head over to Facebook to the People Powered Business Facebook page, where you can ask me any questions and engage with me there. Thanks again for your time. Have a great week. Talk soon.